We're going to start. Okay. I want to call to, well, I'm going to call to order a special meeting for the Gilbert Beach City Council. It's really a town hall meeting, and this is for Thursday, December 10th, 2015. And what I'd like to do is if you all please stand and rise with us, and we'll have a flag salute.
Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated.
So, Donna, when you're ready, roll call.
Here.
Thank you, Donna. And is there anyone that wants to speak as far as public communications? This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council on any item in the jurisdiction of this council, but please bear in mind the council cannot take action on any items that are not on the agenda. Okay, I think we're all here for the same reason. Very good. So let me just say, I want to say thank you to you all coming out tonight. We think tonight is very important because we wanted to meet with businesses and other folks who are concerned about some of the transient issues we've been dealing with. Tonight we want to give you an update on what the city has done and then certainly hear your feedback. And what we're hoping is that you come forward, and we understand people probably have a lot of things on their mind, but if you can sharing of ideas and things that we can take on, it would be much appreciated. Typically in a council setting, we give people 3 or 4 minutes to express themselves once, but I don't want to do that tonight. We want it to be a little more informal. So we'll ask you to come up and just identify yourself, make your comments, and I see that we probably have, looks like about 20 people or so, unless my math is off, and I think that allows us to have a much more open dialogue. I know I'm going to take my jacket off when I get a little warmer, but why don't we do this? What I'd like to do is go to the city manager and get a report on some of the things. I know there was a meeting previously, but it was not targeted specifically to business owners. But I do know that there was a meeting. There's been some actions that have been taken over the last year or so, and I want to have the city manager and even police chief give a report on what we've done, and then we'll turn it over and hear your comments and what in your feedback. So, Mr. Peralt.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, and members of the community. As we all know, the transient population here in the community has been growing over recent years. And I just want to indicate that in dealing with the transients, this population, it's important to keep in mind that not all the transients or homeless folks are the individuals that are creating the problems that we're dealing with, but there is a very distinct group of that population that does cause all sorts of issues for us. And these have been on the rise for a long time, and the things that we have seen and dealt with is everything from aggressive animals that belong to the transient population, obviously panhandling, aggressive panhandling, encounters that happen as a result of panhandling. In addition to that, there's been public intoxication. There's been observed drug use. There has been fights and disturbances. That's all happened, and it's all been a real concern of the council and the city. And for the last year, with the direction of the council, there have been a number of things that the city has done to try and improve the situation. That began actually about a year ago when the city adopted an amendment to its aggressive animal ordinance that gave us more tools to deal with individuals that have aggressive animals, especially those that are unleashed are in our parks and public areas. That was the very first thing we were able to do, and we did it because we were able to do it quickly. That was followed in February at the direction of the council with the anti-aggressive panhandling ordinance that was fairly broad. What it did is it prohibited aggressive panhandling and provided again that is a misdemeanor, and we were able to gave us another tool that we were able to deal with that kind of aggressive behavior. The panhandling ordinance went broader than that. It eliminated the ability to panhandle at street corners of major access to major businesses within certain feet of banks and ATMs. And actually, as I recall, it eliminated the ability to stand in front of any business and panhandle within 10 feet of that front door. So we did see immediately after that an improvement of that activity up and down the corridor. Shortly after that, the police department initiated its foot patrols, and the foot patrols the council authorized an additional allocation of funding to support those foot patrols with the limited police staff we had. And throughout the summer, I think that those also were very successful in at least getting out and communicating to businesses. It's been a little bit more difficult for us recently because for a number of reasons we've come up with vacancies in the police department that we're trying to fill as quickly as we can. I will say that the council authorized an increase in the police department to full staffing. Prior to that, we had a patrol staff, our sworn staff, that consisted of 17 officers. And since that time, it's been raised to the full allocation of 19, and we are out there aggressively trying to fill those positions. We also, in fact, just this last week, we brought on a new sergeant, and we have a couple of prospects for two additional officers after the turn of the year. The cameras, we started with the cameras here in Ramona Park, an installation of cameras that also was successful. It was partially funded through a grant that we received through the South Coast Transit Agency because they use this as a transit hub. And so we set our first cameras up here. Those cameras link directly to dispatch and give the dispatchers the opportunity to observe what's going on in the park. That was followed by, the installation of cameras down in the Station Grill area. And those have been active for some time, and we seem to be seeing an improvement there. Our camera program will continue. We will be coming up the corridor. We expect to be installing additional cameras, and the chief can give you the actual locations, but they'll be coming all the way up to 10th Street. And that installation should be completed by, we think, the 14th of this month. We are coordinating the installation with the PG&E. As many of you know, PG&E is coming in and changing out the lights in the downtown area, and they'll be going to an LED lighting, which will actually be a much brighter lighting. So that should help as well. The police department has initiated a bicycle program as well in September, and we are out there as time and personnel permit. We've also taken in the steps to eliminate the encampment south of the depot. It's in a multi-agency approach that we started in September. That first, before we did our first sweep, we actually had human services representatives go in and talk to the transients that were encamped there, passed out information about public services, and hoped to be able to transition some of those folks into public services. We're not done there. The next sweep will actually take place on January 6th. That will be followed with a cleanup. The county's helping us out with that. The county's sheriff's department is actually helping us with cleaning up what will be left over in that encampment. And then following that, we'll actually fence that entire property off. So hopefully that will eliminate that encampment. We've started initial discussions with Pismo Beach and State Parks to work on the next encampment, which is the one on North 4th. And I would expect that we'll be following up in the same way sometime after the year. Obviously, when you're dealing with folks, you have to respect their rights as well. So, you know, it is a labor-intensive project to undertake. Anyway, Mr. Mayor, Chief, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I can go ahead and clarify on where the additional cameras will be installed over the next two-week period that as PG&E goes through and upgrades the lights. We will be installing 10 additional cameras that will be displayed in the dispatch center, and the dispatchers can see live what's going on, and they are recorded for investigative purposes only. The cameras will be going in, two of them at 3rd and Grand. There is currently four cameras, or what we call one pod, at 4th and Grand. That pod will actually be taken down from 4th and Grand and moved over to 9th and Grand, so that'll put four cameras in the intersection of 9th and Grand. When that pod comes down from 4th and Grand, we're going to put four cameras individually at the intersection of 4th and Grand, aiming in all directions, and it should give us a much better coverage than that one single pod does right now because of the intersection size. There'll be two more cameras going up at 6th and Grand, two more at 8th and Grand, and then again that four pod camera system will be at 9th and Grand. And so that should connect. The police department will have what amounts to, in addition to other security cameras that the department has, will have about 42 cameras in the dispatch center that the dispatchers are responsible for. There is as funding allows and grant funds come up, and this expansion is actually being covered completely by grant funds, and it's not impacting the general fund, which has been very good for us. But as additional funding comes up, the goal is to continue all the way down Grand Avenue to Oak Park. And we are actually in some discussions with Royal Grandy, who is operating a similar program where we will be able to share resources and save money and build a system that both agencies will be able to use for investigative purposes as well as emergency responses. So that's where we are with the camera program. So, and again, the bike program and the foot patrol programs, as our staffing increases and the officers have time, they do sign up for those and go out on those events and walk around. I'm sure several of you have probably seen them out in their specialty uniforms and the new bikes that they have. So Feel free to stop them when you see them out there and chat with them. So,
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, City Manager and Police Chief. Do any members of the council have questions of staff? No?
No.
Okay. So what I want to do is, like I said, we want to make this as informal. I'm feeling uncomfortable sitting up here at a table while you're all out there. So, Martin, maybe you can take the mic to whoever needs to speak. They don't need to come up to the – we're okay if they don't come up to the podium, correct? And I think I have a request to speak from Tom Rader. You don't have to fill out a blue slip. Just raise your hand if you have comments. We're looking, like we said, please give us feedback. Tell us, share with us your experience, and if you've got any ideas, anything, because as you know, you've heard what we've tried to do from a local government standpoint, and there's only so much that government can do. This has really got to be a collaborative effort, and so we're definitely looking for folks that to share what your experiences are, and if you've got any ideas, we want to hear them and see how we can work together. So, Tom, you have the floor.
Okay. Thanks for having this meeting, first of all. It's good to see a good turnout here. People were, you know, concerned about our community and the investment that we've made in this community to have our businesses and our homes and our families here. And I've had many good conversations with the chief and with other members of the board. And I know that there's a process that you must go through. I wish we could accelerate it somewhat because it seems that we have to tread lightly on people that are breaking the rules and our laws, and seems that their rights are put above ours, that we're trying to maintain our businesses and pay our taxes and do the right thing. So I do recognize that. I know speaking with the chief, his resources are very thin, and he's trying to, I know you got people coming in and that, and I was speaking with some people earlier, and we need to call the police department if there's anything going on, because I know we're like, well, heck, you know, I don't want to bug them, they're busy or whatever, but it's the only way we can help them with their statistics that he can lay down and put in for grants and put in for these things, is the calls do have to go in. So if there's a situation, call, let them make the decision. And, you know, down at my place, I forgot to say, I run Mongo's down there. So, and I've had extra costs as far as my employees having to have people there to deal with these people. And they pretty much know to stay away now. And when I do have to talk to them, this morning I had to take care of somebody at, you know, 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, I always wish them a good day, just don't do it here. And but I inform them, and I don't know, you know, speak with the chief, and he can tell you what our rights are as property owners and business people on how to properly communicate with these people so that they get the message, so that if you do have a follow-up encounter with the same person, then he can do something and help us. We have smartphones, take pictures. You know, I have a business, and it's there for a long time, and something happens at 11 o'clock at night, and then the same people try to come back at 11 o'clock in the morning. And my people don't know because they're not there all the time. I don't know. So the only is use your smartphones, take pictures, send it to your employees, send it to your other people, you know, use the technology to our advantage. I mean, the transit, the hubs, other communities are sending people here. And so as we deal with the people that are there's more coming, and I know you guys are addressing that, but we need to stop Grover Beach as being the dumping grounds, because we have the bus terminal, we have the train station, and it's very easy for other cities in this area just to give them a bus ticket or whatever, and then they're down here. And as far as resources and time, I'm very busy, as sure as everybody else is, but if we all give a little bit, then hopefully we can get this done. So if anyone wants to talk to me, whatever. I mean, I feel dealing with these people, I mean, I've had them threaten me. And, you know, I'm a bit larger person, and if these people are going to be aggressive towards me, then I know that it's a real problem for people that are more normal size. So, if we work together, communicate, and get the information to the city, I think that we can get this situation under control, because it's not going to take care of itself. And if the word gets out that this is a safe place and they can run and do whatever they want to do, they're a community. They communicate. And if we tighten together, then the word will get out, and we can get a hold of this situation. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. You got that? You take that side, I'll take one side. Okay, yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm Dan Bronstein. I am the director over at Beacon Chiropractic across the way. I have a couple very specific questions, because you guys have all heard from me multiple times. With respect to Chief Peters, two questions. Number one, because it seems like a lot of these folks that you and I have talked about who are actually breaking the law, and I'm not talking about homelessness in and of itself, I'm just talking about folks who are strictly breaking the law, right? It seems like we've done a really poor job of regulating things like selling to somebody who's intoxicated, selling alcohol to somebody who's intoxicated, right? Or at least that was my impression after talking to Jim Copsey before he moved on. So first question, number one, how are we doing to sort of curb that, right? Do we have a relationship with the ABC now to be able to kind of start getting these liquor stores who are selling to intoxicated patrons taken care of? And number two, especially because of what's been going on in the news lately with respect to drug busts in South County, is your department working with the sheriff in any way that we need to know about to kind of help with the seemingly growing drug problem in South County?
Thank you. Good questions. The ABC Alcohol Beverage Control, we have been working with them, and we do get to communicate with them quite a bit in reference to our concerns. It is partly their, or mostly their, responsibility to go into the establishments and to conduct the inspections. Our officers can go in there, and usually that's a complaint-driven form that they respond in, and they investigate the violation that has been witnessed by someone. The one issue that we are going to be working with, and we've been in communication with ABC, is how do we exactly that enforce those who are intoxicated being served or sold by establishments along the Grand Avenue corridor, or actually anywhere in the city. It's something that usually is generally, I wouldn't call it common, but is more known in like bar or restaurant atmospheres, but this type of activity could occur at liquor stores and establishments, convenience stores, and so forth that sell alcoholic beverages. So I think part of that is going to be an educational campaign for the businesses that we need to get out there and let them know that when there's an obviously intoxicated person, you cannot sell to them. It is a violation of law. You could get cited, and the store could either lose the license through suspension or actually complete revocation through ABC. So that's going to be part of an education campaign that we will be taking on here at the turn of the year, as well as followed up by enforcement as necessary. And I'm hoping that as few of the establishments that we have, that they will see the education campaign for what it is and help us out in that area. As for the narcotics activity that's going on, yes, we do have a good sizable narcotics activity. It's a personal use mostly. We do have a few places that have had sales, and the Sheriff's Department, which we do pay into the Narcotics Task Force to come in and assist us with larger investigations. The Sheriff's Department has been very busy in the last 2 years doing lots of narcotics busts in reference to heroin and methamphetamine, which is our main two drugs in this city. And what we've been doing is the officers have been making a lot of arrests with people who are under the influence and people who are in possession of their personal use narcotics. The unfortunate thing is last year, Proposition 47 was voted on by the California public and was passed by the majority of voters. And that didn't quite decriminalize narcotics possession, but it sure did make it a lot harder for us to do enforcement action. It went from people who possess heroin, methamphetamines, date rape drugs, cocaine, stuff like that, which was normally a felony and required somebody to be booked into the jail. All those charges were reduced to misdemeanors, and now they're not booked into jail unless they're under the influence to a point they can't care for themselves. So they receive a citation, the officer takes the drugs, and the person is released at the scene. That's not I wasn't in favor of that. I voted against it. I'll be out there and say that. But the problems that we have seen from that is that there is no longer that cooperation from somebody who does get arrested, who may be interested in going to a treatment program and getting help, and then is willing to tell us where they buy their narcotics. There is no incentive to do that anymore. So we don't get cooperation like we used to in those types of instances. And unfortunately, the funding for mental health facilities and substance abuse facilities is very minimal in this state. And I think it's an area that has been neglected by the state for the most part. And there aren't that many resources out there for these folks to go to. And unfortunately, they're closing up. Now, Los Angeles has actually closed over 50% of their drug treatment centers that were court mandated because there's nobody signed up to them anymore. So that law really did hurt us in helping people, because now we can't force them as part of probation or part of their sentence into treatment facilities to receive that treatment and then hopefully kick the habit for good. Even if you get one that comes out of the treatment facility and never goes back, that's a success. But now there's no teeth in that. So we see less attendance in those programs. So we are doing the drug enforcement, and the primary target is the sales, because the sales of narcotics is still a felony. And those, if we can get the people who are creating the sales off the street, then there's nowhere to buy their dope, and hopefully they would either seek assistance or move elsewhere. But that still doesn't negate the fact that we're going to have the continuous problem of arresting and rearresting people who use narcotics.
Thank you, Chief. Is there...
And this is for the city council. I'm just curious, because having now spoken to a ton of people over at Capsulo, just trying to get more of a bearing on the situation, just talking about pure resources, right? Not arresting criminals, but providing resources for a lot of these folks who are either mentally ill or have addiction issues. Do we have any idea where the most accessible addiction and or mental health outreach facilities are? Because, I mean, I know we have Prado up north, right? But, I mean, they have a one-and-done policy, right? We know a lot of people will go in, they can't stay sober, and they get kicked out. But do we have other resources available within striking distance? Because people are actually coming to the Central Coast because it's convenient, which I'm not sure how true that is or not. But where are the other available resources so we can at least start looking at those places as a model? Anybody know?
I can say, because I sit on the county HSOC committee, Homeless Services Oversight Committee. Resources are a lot less than we would want them to be, and especially in South County. We push for as much as we can, but when everybody wants to help, but no one wants that help anywhere near them, help doesn't tend to be there. I will give an example of something you can do as a citizen. It's something I actually did today. I met a guy in Ramona Park who was just very clearly mentally ill, told me he was mentally ill, and he wasn't doing anything wrong, so I didn't want to call the police and scare him to death. But he seemed like someone that if he was offered help, he would probably accept it. So I called the San Luis Obispo County TEMA, I can't remember. Transitions Mental Health, thank you. TEMA, T-E-M-A, I just Googled TEMA San Luis Obispo County. They have a homeless outreach person who will come and talk to the person and see what they can do. That being said, I met them this morning, and the soonest they can come is 11:30 tomorrow. So hoping he'll still be there, and I can check and see if he's there tomorrow. But that is one thing you can do if you see someone. And I don't know if Jana, you want to add on, or someone else wants to add on.
I'm Jana Nichols with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and I first of all want to acknowledge that we are very much sensitive to the issues that you're dealing with. Not all homeless folks are the folks that you're seeing on your street corners, and we're helping a lot of families, but those who are breaking the law and are transients and are causing community problems are equally our concern as they are yours. And so I just wanted to say that up front. We are limited in the number of services that we have here. We have a variety of case management programs and housing programs here at the Coalition. We have housed about 40 veterans this year and another 40 other families. So there are services available, as well as, you know, helping folks find immediate needs. What we are lacking, of course, as the chief indicated, there is very limited alcohol or drug rehab facilities. We have one social model detox down in Santa Maria. I tried to place a client there today. I can get him in on December 28th. And so we're working with him in a variety of programs until then. And when I say social model, that is the 12-step program, et cetera. It's not the medical model of detox of taking methadone or that sort of thing. And there are challenges with both. The closest medical facility is down in Santa Barbara. So, you know, we have a serious drug and alcohol issue. Much of the transient behavior that I think you're experiencing is directly attributed to that. We have folks that do a variety of outreach. We have a team that is going to be going out when the camp sweep happens here next week, I guess it is, Wednesday.
Yeah, we're going out in partnership with you folks as well as state parks and giving the information and getting some help, hopefully.
Right. So we have outreach case managers that are going to be going out with Transitions Mental Health Association. But one of the things that we have, and I hand these out like water, is just a business card that's got information about where people could get services. Obviously, not everybody wants services, but we have managed to make a lot of connections this year, especially with veterans. And so to the degree possible, we have that information. We also have a countywide resource folder that has a variety of pieces of information, everything from legal issues to domestic violence issues to housing support, those sorts of things. So one of the things that I would encourage everyone, and again, we can make these available to you. I could even talk to the city about just having some there. Panhandling directly affects much of the behavior that you're concerned with. And while we want to help folks, I'd much rather see the community step up and help the services help folks than give them direct contributions. And you know, that's been addressed a little bit, I think, with your ordinance. But the degree to which we can mobilize the community to understand how best to help, because I know that, you know, this is a very giving community. I can ask you for a coat drive. I can ask for canned food, and people are there. As individuals, we don't know how to deal with mental illness or drug or alcohol addiction. That takes a unified community, and it takes strong leadership. And it takes an investment of resources beyond what you or I can do. So when we're talking about the challenge, if we're not addressing the root cause, and you know, I am very empathetic to the police department trying to enforce the law, but if we don't have the services to engage people, to give them the opportunity, as I say, I've got somebody who wants to go into detox, he's going to wait another 2.5 weeks. And that's one of several. So thank you for letting me get on my soapbox.
Jana, is there a way you could make some of those cards available to people, or is there a way people might be able to keep those at their business?
Absolutely. I think what I'll do is I'll give my business card to the clerk. And if you would be so kind as to maybe even take a list for me, I'll be happy to follow up with folks and make sure that I didn't come in with any paperwork tonight. I'll be happy to make some cards and information available to folks.
Great. Thank you, Jana. So I want to kind of refocus on you folks, because we asked you to come down here to express what your concerns are, your experiences are, and how we can assist and work together. So please, business owners, I know folks in the community are here, but we want to hear specifically, you know, what are some of the things that we could try to do to help make you feel like the investment you've made in this community is protected and you and your workers are safe. And I'm not saying we're not compassionate to the root cause and those folks, but I think when we had talked about this workshop, we wanted to hear from the business community. So I know you're not that shy. So someone, who's next? Oh, Duke, and then we'll come back to you.
Thank you, Mayor Schultz. Duke Sterling, and here's my wife, Lori, in Phoenix. Thank you for hosting this tonight, City Council and city staff. Chief Peters, thank you very much for all the outreach you're doing in our community. It's very much appreciated. Jana, you brought up a really nice idea about not helping with handouts and as far as panhandling. Is there a way of putting signs on the city posts, do not support panhandling, and maybe have a reference at the city where the people can go? It could be something as simple as, you know, I know San Luis Obispo has the signs, do not support panhandling, is this is not a help. Visit the city of Grover Beach for a resource list where you can help folks. Also on those signs, sorry, I'm on the last of a cold, so I'm speaking a little bit rough. Can we advertise the cameras that are being installed? Because if those are on the signs and people know that whatever activity they're involved in is recorded, that will help as it did at Ramona Park. And my third thing is one of the issues that we're seeing is loitering. And I know there's really not a law against loitering, but do you have any ideas as a council, as business owners, what we can do? I know if it's on private property or on private property, we can ask people to leave, which we do. But then we also see people sitting on sidewalks and in front of stores, and it's just not the representation of Grover Beach that we want. It scares people. And it doesn't make for a vibrant business community where people want to walk down Grand Avenue and patronize the businesses. So if there's a way of curbing that behavior, that would be appreciated, and that would definitely help our downtown. Thank you.
Thank you, Duke. Those are great suggestions. And just, I know that we've talked about it. San Luis Obispo sort of has a loitering ordinance, and it really deals with the duration of time people can stay on the public benches, so it doesn't go as far as you've suggested, and I don't know, we'll have to have a conversation about that and with our city attorney and whatnot, but those are some great suggestions and we can capture those. And I think the first two, that seems like a pretty easy fix as far as putting signage up, so thank you for that. Dee?
Yes, first of all, thank you again to the mayor and the council and staff for spending time with us. I'm so happy to see that a lot of you have come out tonight. I'm sure you have other things to do. But yes, we do have a problem with this. And it really hurt me when I seen that Arroyo Grande doesn't have the problem as much as we do here in Grover or Pismo. It's like we're the stepsister of these cities. And I even went to Napomo yesterday just checking things out. Even Napomo didn't have what we have. And it's like whoever said it, we're a dumping ground. And we as business people are kind of fed up with this. I understand that they have problems, but we need to take care of our city. We need to make living just like they do. You go right now by Taco Bell, help wanted. You can go out to Walmart, help wanted. So if I can work, they sure as hell can work too. And another thing, do we need to have our landlords put signs out behind our parking lot? Last Friday, I think it was, I came back into the driveway. There was a lady that was so stoned out. She was in the middle of the driveway, and your mother-in-law was right behind me. And I know she was getting frustrated because I couldn't move my car. This lady was yelling and screaming and going on, taking stuff off. And then she went around, and there was delivery trucks, and she just laid down right in front of a delivery truck. Hmm. And one of the delivery guys said, "This is the second time I've seen her today." And the officers did come because I stopped and I called. and they took her in, they cuffed her, but she was just so stoned out of it. I think one of the things that really irritates me is, like, on the weekends, you'll see the fire truck, you'll see the police department and other services picking up somebody from the homeless, when yet the people who really need it here in this city are not getting it because of this. I'm glad to see about the cameras. One thing that concerns me is there is a lot of problems over there by the skateboard park, and as many of you know, that was one of my little dreams, to have a skateboard park for these kids here in our community. And when you have drug dealing going on right across the street, that bothers me. The tennis courts up at Grover Heights, it's another little hubbub for people doing their little drugs. And I think we need lighting there also. Years ago, there used to be lighting behind those courts, and you can keep an eye on them. But now it's becoming quite a little drop-off. And with the school right there, I think we have to do something about that problem up there also. And as you notice, a lot of people are not using our facilities. They're beautiful facilities. But who wants to rent something that's going to be disturbed by people who are doing their drug dealings? They come in, they ask, you know, what's going on here? That is not right. This city belongs to us, not by people who don't care about it. So I'll get off my soapbox, and please let me know how do I need to talk to the landlord to have a posting, just like you mentioned, about no soliciting and so forth. And one of my biggest crawls is the fellow down on 12th Street in the Frontage Road. He makes a nice living daily.
Hi, I'm new to the area, I guess. I'm the owner of the Grover Grind. I just took over ownership there about 3 months ago. And I guess what I'm up here to talk to you guys about is, one, to introduce myself, and then also to let you guys know that maybe this is more for me just to tell you the experience that I'm having every day. I'm at the shop all the time, working nights, doing remodeling. The things I'm seeing are they're very worrisome. There we go. We have people coming in, and they're kind of doing a low-profile approach into our restaurant. I had a gentleman come in a couple days ago, ordered some food, fell asleep at the table, and then woke up. I told him he should leave. Then he said, I'll be leaving soon. And then just about when I was going to call the police, that's when he went ahead and left and kind of went out kind of angry. And then I've had people throwing cigarettes all over my patio. We've had people coming in and basically taking baths in our bathroom. We've had a lot of experiences with our girls being nervous or upset about people coming and kind of pitching tent in the restaurant. Right now, we're presently applying for our beer and wine license, and we're hoping to open up tapas, and we want to have this really chill environment, relaxing place where people can have a nice meal and also to try different wines and things. We want to be very good about making sure we're not getting people intoxicated. But at the same time, we're hoping to build up the neighborhood. We're all about Grover Beach. Our whole build-out is all about the streets of Grover Beach. Our sandwiches are named after Grover Beach. So we're hoping that we can keep moving forward with growing our business and also maintain a protection against some of the people coming at us, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. But really, I'm happy to be here to be able to talk to everybody about different ways that we can, like being able to find help for certain people or finding out how we can deal with people when it comes to, yeah, I mean, it's like you want to be nice, but then at the same time, you're like, hey, I can't run a business, and I talked to Amanda next door. She has a flower shop, and she said, well, don't feed the seagulls. And it's like, okay, I'll be careful with what we do. But at the same time, these little fine lines that I'm trying to figure out right now, I guess I'm reaching out to the community to say, I want to talk to the police department even more. I've had them out before, and I want to be able to work with everyone. And we're talking to the building owner. This is an idea which I think has already been mentioned, which is I've reached out to our property management about putting signs around the whole building about loitering because we have people sleeping on our patio. And, so that's one thing we're doing. Any other suggestions, things like that, we'd love to have you guys help.
Thank you, and welcome to Grover. We'll have to come down and visit Grover Grind. Debbie, you have a question?
I'm Debbie Peterson, and I'm your neighbor. Nice to meet you. I have an office around the corner, and I can tell you that my staff have been seeing drug deals probably almost daily back behind where you are back in the parking lot and also over at the car wash. I can say honestly that I have never gone home at night and not encountered someone who was transient as I went in my front door. Not once. Not once. When I go home tonight, there will be one, two, or three people out there. And personally, I'm afraid, Tom, to tell them to go away because my car's parked out there. They know who I am. They see me every night. My home is there and my business is there. So I can't afford to get aggressive with anyone or even get assertive. I'm afraid to. And so one of the things that Duke had raised with me and also Councilmember Shaw about a year ago was a program that was happening in San Luis Obispo, which was they had their meters, and along with their meters there was a sign, at, such as you suggested, saying, don't give to the panhandlers, give here, and this money will go to the agencies that help the homeless. Unfortunately, and in fact, Keith Storton, who deals with the homeless in San Luis Obispo, sent them down to Grover Beach, and he said, I will be happy to teach someone how to operate them. I will be happy to tell you about our pilot program, tell you how to do it. And I think the city was looking for a charity to manage it, and we didn't get that. But there are four meters that were given to us for that purpose.
Thank you, Debbie.
Sorry, I know I'm monopolizing time, guys. I talked to Duke previously about reaching out to the Chamber of Commerce. Is there anybody here from the Chamber? On the board? No, okay. So I'm not currently a member, and the reason I'm not a member is because of this. I'm not opposed to coming back. I've spoke to Judith about this concern. But my feeling, having had some history with the Chamber of Commerce going all the way back to the Grover Beach Chamber, is that as I can't remember who said that we were kind of like the stepsister of AG, but it seems like, Dee said that. So I think that's kind of what's happening. At least that's my perception of what's happening on Grand Avenue on the other side of AG. My suggestion is that everybody here who is a member of the chamber start a dialogue with the folks on the board of the chamber to see what we can do about developing down here. I'm a little disappointed, frankly, to see that nobody from the chamber on the board is here tonight. I was expecting that they would be. I'm sorry, you're on the board? Okay. Well, no, it's okay. I'm glad that you're here.
Go ahead.
But my question is, I guess to you, what is being discussed on the board, if anything, and what can be done, right? Because we know that AG does not have these issues, at least to the extent that we have them here. And I think we'd all support the chamber if we knew that there was a sort of a grand plan to help develop business, right?
So let me respond to that before you even put Stacy on the spot. Mary and I just actually approached the chamber board at their board retreat because they wanted us to come in and talk to them about what's going on in Grover Beach and how they could support us. And so part of what we talked about was that very thing, right? So when they merged the two chambers, and a lot of people think the city administration or council allowed that to happen. That's about the businesses making that decision. They didn't do a lot of good communication around it. And there's still this perception out there that it's the AGGB chamber and they're all in Rio Grande and they gave them a direct access to say we're next to the beach. And that's probably true to a point. So what we've talked about to them is, one, growing your membership. Two, having a greater presence in the city. You know, they actually own the building across from City Hall, and so we've asked the board to consider locating there. That's one thing. We also had said, you know, we would certainly welcome their help in addressing the issues we're talking about tonight. So you know, I agree. I mean, well, I'm glad Stacy raised her hand. You know, I was thinking hopefully Judith or someone at that in the administration would be here to kind of hear some of this feedback. And so we'll be meeting with them again to talk about that. We've also talked about, and we'll talk more about some ideas we've been kind of bantering about, and we haven't had this conversation in public since today's the first day. I know someone can easily just say, hey, hire security guards, light up your buildings, and then we're good, you know. But we're hoping there's a creative way to do this, right? Because we talked about all the things that the city has done. We can write ordinances and new laws all day. Unless someone calls and reports it or we have the resources, it's only as good as that. But when someone's going onto your property, at night, how do we address that? Is that a combination of security, and do we have resources where the chamber would be willing to help fund some of that? You know, we'll have that conversation, but I think we need to talk about if the business owners in here are not happy with the chamber, and if you all are saying let's form a improvement district or some other association, I can tell you from my perspective, and I'm sure my colleagues would say we would support you 100%. So that's why we're here. You know, we want you to know that we do value your investment, and we're trying to find a way to make sure that we can minimize this situation, if not eradicate it completely. But anyway, so yeah. we've called on the chamber and asked them to get much more engaged. Miriam, you want to add something?
I just wanted to add, I was just thinking if the city attorney or the chief could go over for business owners what their rights are as private citizens, what kind of signs can they post and what is enforceable?
Okay, as was mentioned before, there's a loitering ordinance is or loitering law is pretty much non-existent. There's rights. People have rights, and there's a thing called the Constitution. They have rights to be and walk up and down the street, walk on the sidewalks, even sit on the sidewalks if they want. So it gets really into a fine line of what you can do. But on your private property or property that's open to you as your business, you can ask people to leave. If they do not leave, then you can call the police, and we will definitely come down and ask them to leave as well. And it's actually a process you have to go through. You have to ask, then the officer has to ask. And if they still refuse to leave, it is a citizen's arrest by the property owner. And so the officer will take the individual into custody and cite and release them, or if they're uncooperative, they may actually end up in the county jail for a few hours. You can post signs of no loitering or no interference with business. The prosecution success of that has been limited because it's very hard to show if they're interfering with your business. And the interference with business basically means they pretty much have to stop your business from going on or stop people coming in and out of your business for that time period. So it is a little bit difficult, but trespassing is the easiest one to enforce. You just have to take some steps first. Proper noticing of the windows. I think Vaughn's has a very good notice in their windows, and that has helped us a lot with prosecution. The difficulty you run into is you're open for public business, and yes, you have the right to refuse business for people who are being disruptive and so forth. And if they're causing a disturbance, absolutely give us a call. We'll come down there and help take care of that problem. But Vaughn's had a very big problem with people loitering in the benches out front, and the court said you put the benches there, so expect people to sit there. And it got difficult. They couldn't prosecute without the proper notification and really monitoring it all the time. So their staff, you probably, if you go to Vaughn's, you see their staff out there all the time walking up and down by those benches. So I know as small businesses, you folks probably don't have that kind of luxury. And so please give us a call, and we'll help you monitor that.
Hi, everybody. Stacy Korsgaden and Jody Ramirez and I own the building on the corner of 9th and Grand. And first of all, thank you, Council and Mr. Mayor and the police. Thank you very much for holding this meeting. We greatly appreciate it. We have owned this building since February 2014 and have invested in Grover Beach property-wise, rentals. Love, love, love Grover Beach. And we feel that the business area is vibrant. We're very happy with the work that the council has done with the cameras, and we feel that the police are very responsive. Those are all the good things. The concerns that we have, number one is September of this year. We took a trip to San Francisco for a company meeting and probably won't go back for a long time. because I feel that what was the change that had occurred in 1 year was mind-boggling. In Los Angeles, they've developed, an emergency situation, and the population has grown so much that they've developed a state of emergency, and there will be some. What I feel is going to happen is our population will be growing, because as the larger cities are moving here in our positive population, I think that they will probably be moving here with vagrants. So I would like my communication, excuse me, I must have caught it from Duke. My concern as a business owner, investor, and citizen of Grover Beach is if we look at the solutions that we have offered in the last couple years, some of them have been deemed unconstitutional. So as a citizen of Grover Beach, and I'm not a police officer, I'm not a lawyer, I don't really know what is doable and what's not, where we're going to get sued and where we're not. But if I were going to say as a business owner, what I would like to see is a tone of a Rudy Giuliani, someone that's going to be tough, a city that's really tough, and, okay, these are our rules, we're going to stick by them. And I feel that in strength, you know, right now as a country we're talking about what's politically correct and what's not. I just had a dear friend in the last 12 months that was a high income earner, a peer of mine that has basically is could be a street person right now because of alcohol and drugs. So where I didn't have the compassion that I had maybe 12 months ago, I do now because I can see it can happen to anybody. So I do have the compassion for the people that do not have a place to live, but that doesn't take away the fact that I want to be very strong. I don't want people living in unsanitary conditions. I thought that was Grover Beach. I didn't know that was Pismo, right off of 4th Street. So is that Grover?
Oh, that's north of
5. Is it Grover?
It's as you go down the hill just south of the, or I guess it would be north of the sign, the Grover Beach sign, that's still Grover Beach. Once you get towards the estuary, that becomes State Parks area. And then as it goes up the hill towards Motel 6, it becomes Pismo Beach.
Okay. So I wish we all had a magic wand and we could make everyone have a place to live and they weren't they had a safe place to use the restroom and to shower and to clean. But I also don't want that to happen in Grover Grind. So I don't know what the solution is, but my hope is as a investor and a person that has 6 women that leave at 5:30 at night and I want them to go safely to their car, I would like you to know that I would support being very tough.
Thank you, Stacy. Anyone else? Let's get Will here, and then let me go to Sharon, and then we'll come back to you, Janet.
Okay, I'm one of the South County Transit bus drivers. I've been driving now for about 11 years, 11 and a half years almost. I've got a few things to say. Several of the passengers yesterday said that they would like me to say something also. They do not feel safe out here anymore. And I've had most of the women, they're afraid to even be out here at night. And I don't blame them, because sometimes I don't feel very safe out there myself, because we work till I do the last shift of the night, and I get done here right about at 8 o'clock. And in the winter, of course, it's dark at 6 o'clock. So we're dealing with some situations. But I wrote down a few of the problems that I feel that we're having out here, and I'm trying to give some solutions to them also. Some time ago, just so you know what we are dealing with out here and why we're a little concerned, our road supervisor was bashed in the head by one of the homeless people. And he didn't have to go to the hospital, but he had to go to the doctor and get looked at. And we were really upset about that. We've gone union since. And the reason that we've done that is to try and protect ourselves a little bit more, because now they don't just ignore us up there in San Luis, which they used to. And we're all getting very upset. In fact, 9 of our drivers quit. They were so upset with the things that were being done during the transition period that's taking place with South County Transit. I've been here so long now, I got to stay here. I don't have much of a choice. And I probably would go somewhere else if I didn't have 11 years in. But I want to retire here. So one of the big problems we have here every single day, and I'm out here 6 days a week driving a bus for at least the next couple of months because we don't have any drivers, is we see these people out here, and there's only a few. I don't want to paint it as if everyone out here is a problem, because there's quite a few of the homeless people out here that don't cause any problems at all. And I know who they are because I see them every day. But we've got two or three that are a problem almost every single day. And they smoke out here every day. They come up to our buses with cigarettes. And that's one thing that I'd like taken care of, because I'm really getting tired of having smoke blown into my face in the bus. I smoked for 6 years when I was young. I was fortunately lucky enough to be able to quit. And I do feel sad for people that are still smoking, because it's a mess, and it's horrible, and we don't like it in our buses. And some of the people that ride the buses are very sensitive to cigarette smoke, so we've been told to keep people away. We've got signs on our buses that say 20 feet, which they ignore, and that's almost every single day. I really would like to see more signs out here in the park, because we've got one here. I've put up three myself in our little facility right here, our little metal building there, and they ignore it. And even some of our passengers ignore it. And we have to go up and tell them, please don't smoke around the buses, because people don't like cigarette smoke and all the rest of it. And usually we're just ignored. Now, that's something I don't know if we can call, and that would be a question I would like answered if possible. Because I have told them that there's a fine involved now for smoking in this area. And I have never yet, and I've heard there has been some people fined, but I've never seen anyone fined yet. Now, I would like to see that happen a little bit more, because then maybe people would stop smoking. Because if you go out there right now, there's 500 cigarette butts sitting by our bus place, if not more than that. So they're smoking every day out there. And we tell them all the time. I've even gone so far, if you don't put it out, you're not going to get on the bus. Now, I was told I can't do that. But I don't know what else to do, because I don't like them smoking around the passengers, and the passengers don't like it either. Okay, the problem out here tends to be, and we're talking right out here where the camera kind of doesn't really see very much, is every day I see them doing, I believe it's crack. I don't know. I've never seen it. I've seen it on TV. But I see them passing a pipe around. I know sometimes they're smoking pot. I know when they're doing that because I smell it over by the buses. And this is almost every day. Now, like I say, there's two or three of these guys, and if you need us to identify who the real problem people are, we can do that, because every driver out here has been dealing with this for a long time, and they're very disgusted with it. I can just tell you that. We don't know what to do, though, and I'm very glad you're having this tonight, because at least we can get our feelings out here. When we have these meetings in the past, it seemed like for a short time things were very good out there. After a few weeks, it seems to go back to what it was, and that's, we'd really like to see that kind of stop and be a continuous process where things are dealt with, because I have called the police probably maybe 30 or 40 times in the last 2 or 3 years. That's when it's really become a problem. And most of the time I get, we don't have anybody to send out. That's what I hear most of the time. And I understand that, because I realize the police department is stocked very short of people. They need more people. I understand that. But it doesn't help our situation out here when we're dealing with somebody that's standing there cussing at us in the bus and doesn't have any money and wants to know why we don't let him on the bus, which we get that at least once a week. From one of the drivers do. I probably get it at least 2-3 times a week because I'm out here more. That's something that we just tell them, sorry, and then we have to get cussed at, and then they go back over there and do their thing. I mentioned the smoking signs. If we can get some more out there, that would certainly help. The other thing that I'm really getting rather upset about, and I thought we had an ordinance on this, was people sleeping here all day long. Because what's happening now, and I live over here on 13th and Mentone, I'm in a fairly nice apartment complex there, we have one driveway that comes in, and our dumpster is there. And every night now, and my neighbor's really getting mad, and he's got guns, and I'm worried what he's going to do here one night. Because every night at 2 or 3 in the morning, we hear the dumpster flop open, and then we hear all this stuff flying out on the ground. This is happening in the middle of the night. And I watch out here, and I see these guys sleeping all day. And I said, that's what's going on. They're sleeping all day so they can go out at night and go through everybody's trash cans, which I'm sure everyone here has seen the giant trash bags full of cans or bottles or whatever that people are carrying around on bicycles. And I understand they need to do that. That's, you know, I'm not against that. It's just that going into, and if I remember right, there's an ordinance that was just passed within the last year or so that says that you cannot take things out of dumpsters? If I'm not mistaken on that, I believe I saw that on the news one night. They said that you cannot go into somebody's trash can and take things out. And that if you catch people doing that, you can call the police and they'll give them a ticket. I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
We can cite people for taking recyclables out of the trash.
Yes. That's what they're taking.
There wasn't an ordinance passed in the last year, but there is...
A few years ago?
You can actually cite people for theft. We do have an ordinance that says you can't take recyclables as well. So.
Okay. Well, that's a minor problem there. But the sleeping out here in the park all day, I don't know if that's legal or not. I'm not sure. What I think most of the people that I've spoken to out here would like to see is a no loitering situation here if you're just laying around all day long, which the three or four guys that I see out here every day, they're out there the entire day. They drink their booze, whatever they have. I see their bottles. A lot of them wind up in the bathroom in there, which we see in there. They do smoke pot. They smoke cigarettes. The whole deal is going on out here. And the people ask us, how come they're allowed to do that and we can't? Because we get that all the time, too. The passengers ask that. They're sitting right in the middle of the park smoking cigarettes or whatever else they're smoking, and we tell them not to smoke. So that's sort of an issue. Okay. The other thing, I know I got a lot of stuff here, but the other thing is the dogs not on leashes. This is something we've been seeing a lot more lately. And there's a pit bull that somebody has that's been out here a lot. It hasn't gone after anybody. But the concern is when people are walking their dogs through the park, these dogs go right to them, and the people pick them up, and they're scared to death because they don't know what the dog's going to do. And there's two or three of them that are out here most of the week. Now, I know some of them leave, and then they come back, all that kind of business. But I would like to see something. I believe there is a leash ordinance that dogs have to be on a leash. Mm-hmm. So if we, and I'll do it, I will call the police department and say, can you please come over here and get rid of this dog? Because it's every day, okay? And it is a problem. At least I see it as such. I don't know what to do about the bathroom problem, because over the last year and a half, actually it's been almost 2 years now, the city has allowed the bus drivers to use the bathroom in here when there's no one using the facility. We need a bathroom for ourselves that we can use all the time, because that bathroom in there is disgusting. And I don't know any other word to use than that. I don't even like going in there because it stinks horrible. And the things I've seen done on the walls in there that people have done makes me never want to go in there again. But we do have to use it at times. So I don't know what to do about that. I don't know if anybody can come up with an idea for that. But I think that's about it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. If Mr. Mayor... If I could just address a couple of the concerns. What I would suggest is that if you are seeing these activities, please do give us a call. There's another camera right on the other side here that films all through this area. So if you are seeing this activity, please give us a call, especially the drug-related activity or the sleeping in the park or anything like that. We will definitely come on up and address it and resolve it. I can give you some ideas of how many times we've actually come up in this last year. So far this year, we've handled approximately 326 calls for service here at Ramona Park. So our officers are here quite a bit and taking a lot of enforcement action. And just to give you an idea, last year all told it was 111. So We have been addressing the issues as much as possible. We have been citing the violations for smoking. Matter of fact, just before this meeting, there was a citation here for smoking. So there was quite a few medical calls here that we've been dealing with. If you see that the restroom is in a deplorable condition, give us a call to the police department. We will actually contact Public Works, and they will send somebody over to address that issue as well. So anything that you do see that is a violation, obviously don't take the matters into your own hands. Just give us a call. We'll be more than happy to come down because we do spend a lot of time here already, and we're pretty familiar with it.
I have just three comments I would like to make. I'm not a business owner. I don't live near Ramona Park. I live on the other side of town. But in listening to the discussion, one question that occurred to me is, why is Grover Beach more prone than Arroyo Grande? Maybe we need to ask the question, what is Arroyo Grande doing that we are not? Or maybe it is we have more attractive nuisances, to use an old-fashioned term, but more places where these kinds of incidents can happen? I don't know what the answer is, but I thought maybe we need to ask the question, why? Because that might lead to a solution. The other thing I wanted to discuss is the fact that none of us in the audience are professionals. And when we run into any kind of a problem, whether it's this or anything, maybe we need to immediately let the professionals handle it. So I think calling and calling and calling is a way of handling. Trying to do it on your own maybe puts you in a dangerous situation. Then the last thing I wanted to say is, I think that what we are talking about right now is a treatment, not a cure. And I think that if we want to really commit to resolving the monumental problem of homeless, transients, whatever you want to call people, who are in dire straits or in mental health situations or drug addiction or alcoholism or whatever, we need to advocate to resolve, no, I don't want to use that word, but to build homeless shelters, do whatever is needed so that there is a long-term solution, not just a short-term.
Thank you, Sharon. I think Jana, you're going to give her a mic there, Mark.
Just to go back to some of the discussion about what business opportunities there might be for collaboration, I have just two suggestions. One is, I researched the Debbie Peterson mentioned the meter program, and there's lots of different models out there. Ventura had a very robust business program, not with meters but with signage, about asking their patrons to help services as opposed to panhandling. And, you know, whether it's a meter, whether it's a box on your cash register, there are ways to do that if, as a business community, you're willing to stand up and say, we know we have homeless here, or we know we have transients here, but we'd like you to help us help them in a different way. Grover Beach has a clear business community, retail business of folks coming from the Valley. There's a lot of education, not only about your local folks, but also the visitors that you have here. I mean, obviously, that's a very large part of your business community. And so how you convey that in terms of having them take ownership with you in the community, I think, is very important. To that end, the other suggestion I have is going back to the shop local concept. If, in fact, you want to enlist the support of your liquor stores in reducing perhaps the amount of alcohol they're selling to other folks, start a pledge program. You know, get them to stand up and say, okay, we pledge we're going to be good citizens in how we sell alcohol. And all you business folks, tell all your patrons to go to this store because they're the ones that are standing up to make a difference. I mean, I think there is some opportunities to bind together as a community and as a business community to do some things. So to the degree to which I can help with that, I'm open.
Great, thank you. Is there anyone else? Oh, you got her, Martin?
I may not be being politically correct.
That's okay. You don't need to be.
All of these problems, they don't want homeless shelters because they're going to have to follow rules to stay in them. And so, I mean, one came up to my husband today and asked him for a cigarette in front of a business. He said, let me just ask you, why don't you cut your hair and get a job? He said, it's not my thing, man. Because we allow them, we are getting so lax, and we allow them to do things now that were never allowed before. They have no record. They aren't worried about getting arrested, or they aren't worried about, because we all seem to know all the places that they hang out and where we see them. But it doesn't seem like the police department, I mean, they ought to definitely know where they hang. I'm afraid to go to the car wash down here because they come up to me when I'm in the car wash, and they're there every day. And they're all over certain places every day in this town, and I do not see the police, I'm sorry, doing anything about it. They drive down the street on their bicycles pulling their carts with pieces of furniture and stuff. You know, stop them. Where did they get it from? They're hauling it all down by the train station. It is absolutely, I pay my taxes. I want my property to be worth something. And if I was somebody that came by on that train and saw that mess there, I would certainly say, I certainly don't want to live in Grover Beach. It's disgusting. So, I mean, I'm sorry. That's just, and I have a brother that's mentally ill and was homeless. So I do know what it is. But it is too much now. It's just people that don't want to conform, and they figure, if I can live off of the city, get all of this help, you know, I can get a phone, I can get, why do I need to get a job? So, I mean, it's a huge problem, and it's scary around, and it's everywhere. I can drive down here, and 5 years ago, I might have saw 3 homeless people. I can see 30 or 40 of them now. It's ridiculous. It just is.
Thank you for your candor. We appreciate that. You got her? And I think we had a question over here.
I'm a resident, a 23-year resident of Grover Beach, and I also help out at the Shamrock Thrift Store for St. Patrick's Catholic Schools. And for 2 decades, the People's Kitchen has been within 25 feet to 1.5 blocks from where I live. And I thought, well, you know, maybe if the People's Kitchen, if there was ever a chance for another community to step up, this is it. I can't take another decade of this. And then as a worker bee at the Catholic Thrift Store, we are inundated with homeless people and people who need mental health care immediately. One of our people was attacked. Shoplifting is going through the roof. Trash everywhere. I think the main time when we seem to get a lot of traffic at the store, and I'm not speaking as the manager or as the diocese, just speaking as a worker bee, is during the People's Kitchen serving hours. There's trash left in the parking lot by the chiropractor's office, by Jay Johnson's office, in our parking lot on the street. We call Betsy, and she's happy to pick it up and, you know, take the clamshell styrofoam container. And then she said recently, well, they write the name of each person who, has their styrofoam container, and then they are eliminated from the list. But to me, I think Grover Beach has done its share. A quarter of a century is enough time to have these services in a residential area. It's currently 25 feet from my front door, and we hear people screaming in the middle of the day. I have my two neighbors here, including the Homeowners Association president of my condo complex, and we experienced a very frightening event this week or last week with someone, and I'd like Scott to just mention a couple incidents that just have to stop, and this involves physical battery, and fights in the middle of the street at Long Branch and 9th, and they're frightening. Oh, screaming you cannot believe. And also screaming at night. And the homeless part, they spend the night right underneath my bedroom window. And they do their dumpster diving there at the church. And the church doesn't care. They do not care. And it's too much. I mean, ever since I moved here in 1992, this has been a problem, and nothing has gotten better. It's gotten worse. And
is a conditional use permit, has the city ever followed up with the People's Kitchen? I've had numerous conversations with emails with everybody, but it seems like there had to be a conditional use permit for them to operate, and then
it is an ongoing code enforcement issue. We have completed an investigation a couple of different times. First of all, a little bit about background. As you may know, the church where they're located is a non-conforming use, and the church, as a church, is permitted to because of that non-conforming status. Conditional use permit is required when there's an intensification of that use. We originally met with the owner of the property and indicated that should the People's Kitchen locate there, it, in our estimation, would require a conditional use permit. We have just about completed our investigation, and we'll be sending them a letter that it is our administrative interpretation that it is going to require a conditional use permit. Ultimately, what's that going to mean? Well, the process, everyone is due process, and they will be required to either comply, but there will be an appeal period to our administrative decision. That will take about 10 days, and they will have the ability to come in and file an appeal. And that appeal would go to the Planning Commission first and then possibly the City Council. If they fail to come in and apply for the conditional use permit, then we would continue with the code enforcement action. I will say that the other part about it is a conditional use permit is just that, and the purpose of the conditional use permit, some uses are very permissible within a neighborhood, and the purpose of a conditional use permit is to condition the use to a degree that it does not adversely impact the adjoining neighborhood. Now, whether they would be able to complete that process is ultimately up to the Planning Commission and the City Council, but for the time being, we're treating it as an active code enforcement case, and we will be following up with a letter very shortly.
And to add to that, I think the situation becomes where we've had a pastor, when he said the property owner, it's a pastor at a church who we've had the conversation. I know you and I have exchanged a few emails and a few calls. I try to call you. And so the argument is their rights as a church to hold certain activities and do certain things, and what we've tried to express to them and with unequivocally is if you're intensifying the use at the church and you're having an impact on the surrounding neighborhoods, it is a use issue and the city is going to get involved. And so there's that delicate balance where we're trying to find, going through the code enforcement. It would be great if we had a pastor who would work with us, because Marcia, you're exactly right. I mean, we've been dealing with this for years, and I have to tell you, I was just flabbergasted when I had heard that the two churches were consolidating and they were moving their service to Rio Grande, and then they called Betsy. And I'm not against People's Kitchen. I think I'm on record as supporting them, but I support the folks who live in this community. And I was just flabbergasted to know that this pastor who was new to the area called him and said, we have a building to offer you. And we just thought we're right back where we were. And so, as Bob said, we're trying to go through a process, and we're still actively looking for another location, because in the heart of town, it's got, I'm not going to say they're the cause of all the problems, they are contributing factors to some of this. Anyway, this gentleman has been very patient. I'm going to let him have a chance.
I'm just a private citizen that lives up the street here. I'm not clear on the laws and the rights of the homeless and what my rights are and laws. I hear little things about, you know, well, you private property, you can complain, sidewalk, you can loiter, maybe you can't loiter, you can't. Can you sleep there? Can you sit there? If somebody could, either in the city, do a summary and put it on the website, that's what are the rights of the homeless? What can't they do? What can I do? Or even if the member of the press is here, that was a great article they put in the Tribune a few weeks back, you know, the expose with the statistics. If they could publish something so I could understand what my rights are as well as their rights, then I'll know when, I'm assuming when I go past the park here, they're being totally legal because the police are letting them do it. So they must be having legal behaviors and following their rights. So I don't know, maybe that would be something that could be published at the website or not. And then the last thing, too, is I was in San Francisco a couple weeks ago, and I was pretty amazed of the homeless there. But I did notice they tried to make it a little bit uncomfortable for them, because we were walking down the main street there in front of the Westfield Mall, and there was a public utility truck that pulled up. They saw some abandoned homeless person's property, and they scoop it up, and it's gone. So, you know, if you're going to be homeless here, anything you can carry around your back is fine. But if there's abandoned properties of any sort, it should be immediately scooped up and hauled to the dump. And I see people building homes out under the bushes, and their property continues to grow, and I guess it's being just left there. But maybe the city could make it a little more uncomfortable for these people by, you know, what you can carry on your back, it's fine. But if you leave something under the bushes, bye-bye.
So, City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. Just briefly, and I think that's a good idea, and perhaps we will look at just posting something on the website that outlines some of these issues, or maybe provides a little bit of guidance or at least explanation. Starting from the last part, City of Fresno, not too long ago, followed the model that you described, cleaned out a encampment or an area, and I think it was $3.5 million later, after the lawsuit was over, they ended up putting money into a trust fund from which the owners of the property had an ability to get paid, get compensated. There is a process for doing what you described. It's pretty complicated, and we are in a process of doing exactly that with certain areas where there is encampments. There's notification. You have to retain the property. It's almost no different that a landlord has to do with a tenant or tenant's property that's left over in an apartment. With regard to rights, your rights certainly on your private property are as described by the chief. You can post, you can tell them to leave, you can call the police if they don't. There are no laws against being present on a public street. Some people describe it as loitering, some people describe it as hanging out, sitting. Public street is a public street, public park is a public park. It's there for people to be there. Just because some of those people are dirty, unwashed, etc., they have the same rights as the family that comes there with children. These battles have been fought, and in a public place, they cannot be made to not be there or leave. There are there have been attempts at some loitering ordinances when you can prevent loitering for purposes of a crime. So, for example, Fresno, my partner actually wrote a pretty innovative ordinance that prohibits loitering for the purposes of prostitution. In other words, if you're hanging out trying to attract tricks, you can be made to leave or you can actually be arrested. But just being in a place in and of itself, is as long as the place is public, is not against the law. San Luis Obispo has a ordinance where they cannot basically occupy or block city benches so as to prevent other people from being able to use them. It mostly centers around having their property in a way or you know, laid out in front of the bench. They have a particular situation where they have these people who sit at the same bench every day, and they're always there, they're occupying it. And I've spoken to the city attorney, and it is more of an educational process for the public rather than a strong enforcement. But it does have have an upside. We've been looking at all different avenues of trying to deal with this. If this issue was something that was solvable easily, it would have been solved a long time ago. Every city with far more resources than we have in Grover Beach, city with greater, larger police departments, city with entire code enforcement departments where they have 20, 30 code enforcement officers, have issues dealing with this situation. It's as identified by many people. It has underlying causes which are not easily solvable. But we're doing what we can. I know the police department, we're looking at ordinances and trying to figure out some ways to address the causes, the issues that everybody here has brought up. Because they are difficult to deal with, they are disturbing, and they shouldn't be happening. But it's not a simple solution. It's not a something that we can just come in and tell everybody, you know, don't be here, go away. Just the law doesn't allow us to do that. But we'll look at doing something that you've described, as far as maybe having a some type of an explanation or a summary of some of these issues. Thank you, Mayor.
I think you have someone there, and then I'm going to come to Stacey.
I just had one more question I'm not understanding, like on Highway 1 there where they've cleaned it out. Of course, our tax dollars is paying for all of this. It's private property, I understand, but it's marked no trespassing, or it's public property. Well, someone owns it. And if they are trespassing, which they are, then why can't we just go in and tell them they can't trespass there and not allow them to stay there? I don't understand.
So when you ask about, when you suggest, when you say, Harry, why don't you talk to Tom?
Can you get a microphone, please?
Sure, I should know that.
By the train station.
Yeah, you're talking south of the train station, correct?
Yes.
And I think the city, we actually are taking actions on that.
They have, and they're right back. They're worse now than they were 2 months ago. It did not last a week.
So hold on. I got you, and we are on the same page. Bob, just again to talk about what we're doing, and then can you go even a little further, because we actually have a physical project where we're going to be expanding the train station. And that's something that we're going to be doing next year. So we are working. Well, and we understand. We understand. We're trying to be proactive. Go ahead.
Actually, the property south of the train station is currently owned by County Public Parks and UP. They're really the owners of the property. We've been working with them. We did that first sweep. You're right. They're back, but I can tell you that the next steps that we're going to take, we're going to again bring the human service people through one more time. Then we're going to conduct a final sweep, and that means everybody's got to be out of there, because the next thing that's going to happen, and it is going to cost some money, and we're lucky that we have the county that is helping us with this, we are going to have to go in, clean up that property. We also have to, as the city attorney indicated, make sure that we're protecting private property. The transient's private property for a period of 90 days, believe it or not. But we're going to remove it all. We're going to fence it. And after that, we have a project coming in where we're going to expand the depot. We have $2 million, better than $2 million worth of grant funding. We're going to expand the depot to the south in order to allow us to pull the bus parking that is now on the east side. We're going to put it all in just south of the existing depot, make it one complete station, if you will. And that next thing that you'll see happening, hopefully about mid-spring, is we're going to go in there and eliminate a lot of the trees. And that ultimately will solve that problem in that location. We do believe that we need to be responsive relative to these encampments. That's why we'll be concentrating with Pismo Beach and parks, because we're, you know, that isn't all city property on North 4th. And we are going to go ahead and eliminate those encampments because they are not good places, and we know that. What is that going to mean? Sure, that'll move people around. But hopefully by eliminating these encampments and keeping them from reoccurring, it will help at least keeping that population more or less on the move, if you will. And hopefully that will have its benefit, too.
I have a couple questions. You were on the same track I was. Is it illegal to park a motorhome? Let's say someone from the valley comes over and they park for a couple weeks on our city streets. Is that legal?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if that's illegal, why can people park it either in a public place, or why aren't the encampments nightly? Why aren't they swept? I mean, I would like, as a businesswoman, I'd like to find out where the line is where Grover Beach is going to build, and I'd like to pre-park some motorhomes and rent those out because it's beachfront property.
Actually, that entire project will go until where the park is currently, RV park is currently developed to the south.
Okay.
So there won't be any space left for anybody to camp in there.
But you can see the example. Why are some people allowed to be there rent-free, cost-free on a daily basis?
The issue here is that you're right, but we're not the owner of the property either. That's County Parks. And to a certain degree, they have some responsibility for that as well. It's just like a private property owner in that regard. A private property owner may choose to allow someone to stay there or may not. I may choose not to.
Well, hold on.
So to a certain degree, it is up to the property owner to take that responsibility. At this point, we're fortunate in that we're at least getting some cooperation from them to move them out at this particular point.
So let me make sure I understand, Stacy. Are you referring to the homeless folks who are camping in that area, or are you talking about people with vehicles? I'm not... Okay. Okay. That's why I was having a little trouble. Well, it's not that it's allowed. It's not that it's allowed. They're there unchecked because they're in the underbrush. It provides them shelter. We didn't move. And please, you guys, jump in here. The discussions that we've had at a council level, and even when Debbie was on the council, was trying to do these things in a systematic way, right? We started with cameras at the park. We started with ordinances that deal with the issue of aggressive animal behavior, aggressive panhandling. You'll be interested to know that the ordinance that we adopted dealing with panhandling had very strict restrictions as far as distance from the entrance into businesses, distances from driveways. There used to be, when you would go to McDonald's next to Wells Fargo, there used to be 6 to 8 people there every day, so they're no longer there. And I actually find it quite interesting. When I go to Vons, that I know the police have gone and talked to some of the usual suspects because they've stepped back 15 feet, and then a new wave comes in of different people. So it's frustrating. But we're trying to figure out, when we eliminate these encampments, we know they're going to go somewhere, and we don't want them going into our neighborhoods. And trying to figure out how do we systematically do this and trying to speed that process up. But I know that's been a dialogue with the county, trying to get that done. And when Bob talks about the county helping, I believe I had talked to Sheriff Parkinson, and I know that is that still on, where he's going to have someone
yes.
from the auto farm?
Yes, that's the primarily the way that that will be done.
Yeah, but they're there illegally, and we're trying to figure out how to get rid of them and not do it in a way in which they overrun our neighborhoods.
What I'm hearing and noticing is that the way you're handling it, and I don't mean to be rude or anything, but it's with signage, with ordinances. You're doing everything but putting hands on, face to face. That's what it seems like.
No, it's not just the ordinances. It's also obviously working with social services, because they are physically being removed from that location. They are physically being removed, and that's the process, and that's the clearing out their possessions, fencing it, either eliminating trees or trimming trees. So it's a very active situation that we're going in. But like I said, it'd be great if we could find a homeless shelter, or I've often thought, you know, if it's a younger group, can we take monies that we have for affordable housing and build a youth hostel or something in a location that's less offensive, and say you can be here for certain days, but you have to seek services, and then you have to move on. But I haven't vetted that with the city attorney or the rest of the council, but those are the kind of things that we're thinking about. It's certainly a complicated situation, but we are being very, very active with that encampment, and then, as Bob talked about, moving to the next one. But we don't want to get overrun, especially our residential neighborhoods and business corridors.
If you think we have problems with the homeless, we have over 500 students who are homeless. And they have, yeah. And even just yesterday, I heard of a student who's a straight-A student, sophomore. They call it bed surfing. Wherever he can find a bed is where he stays. He's a young student who wants to achieve something. But on another note, Chief, when we see deals going down and they're coming from having eaten lunch and so forth behind our parking lot, even though it's a private entrance and so forth, do we still call you and say, this is what's going on?
Absolutely, yes.
Because we've seen it more than once. They park their vehicle there in the private park behind the businesses and do their thing.
Yes, if you're seeing any illegal activity such as the drug deals or drinking in public like that, give us a call right away. We'll definitely come down and take care of it.
I know, because sometimes when us girls are there by ourselves, we lock the door because we're not sure how safe we are. So, to the place, one girl was just coming to work and she was afraid to take a picture because they were watching. One was a van, and we're trying to keep a description of the vehicles, but still it's hard to just happen to take a picture of that point. So, and then two, the two girls who own the bookkeeping services here were also complaining. They had to put up a gate because of the problems they had there. So they said that you're welcome to put in a substation in their business to keep an eye on the park.
Okay. And Mr. Mayor, if I could interject for a second, there's been some conversations with regards to we've been doing signage, we've been doing this, we've been doing that with ordinances and so forth, and maybe the city attorney can remind me if I or correct me if I go astray, is we've been provided information that we've gone about as far as we can go with regards to without infringing upon someone's rights. We've tried to have the conversation of being proactive, you know, what we can do, and yet proactive with regards to protecting the city from a very easy lawsuit, for lack of a better term, for someone to file. So it provides a liability protection for the city by based upon other case law that's already gone out. We're trying to be as close to groundbreaking as we can with our discussions, but realizing that if we go over that line, then then we are going to open the city to a lawsuit, which is going to end up being paid for by the citizens as well. So we're trying to be as aggressively proactive as we can while falling on case law to kind of educate us to where we can go. I know that sounds really frustrating, and believe me, it is for us as well. But we're trying to protect the city as well as protect property rights.
And I think going along with what Jeff is saying, I think that's why it was so important. We felt like we needed to reach out to you all because you're a bunch more eyes on the street. And John and I would love to, on a different note, get you all unified and maybe have a wonderful downtown association like they do in AG that puts on an elegant Christmas or something like that. But maybe it could start as a neighborhood business watch program. And the more people call the police, that's the first step, because we can write the laws and they are the hands-on, and they're doing as many foot patrols and bike patrols as they can afford. And other than that, it's up to us to call in and be the people on the street. And if the businesses can unify, that's just one step closer. And one thing I just wanted to bring up today, I went and met with some of the homeless citizens in the park today because I felt it would kind of be unfair to have a meeting about someone without letting them know it's happening. So I did, you know, let them know. And one thing they brought up to me, because I said, well, how do you think we should make things safer? One thing they brought up to me is actually they feel safest now in this park because there are cameras. because the people, as we said, that many people aren't causing trouble, but they do want a safe place that they can be without being attacked or without, you know, being accused of doing something that they're not doing. So I just want to put that out there, because as much as you want the city to take bold action, for every action there's a reaction, and we're not experts. So we're all just trying to see what can work. And I know frustration is high. I live right near here. I get it. I walk around all the time. One thing I also want to put out there, though, as to, I ask some of the people, well, why don't you have a job? Why don't you do this? And if you've had your ID stolen or your birth certificate stolen or you have a felony, it's really, really hard to get a job. And if, as business owners, anybody wants to start a day labor pool where people could work by day and get paid by day, some of the guys I talked to said they'd be interested in it. I don't know. But I'm just putting that out there, that there are two sides to every story. But I would love to see us all work together and just be the eyes on the street and call in as much as we can.
And to Mr. Mayor, if I may follow up on that, the phone number, if you want to jot it down, to call the dispatch center is 473-4511. And you're welcome to call. It's 24 hours. We have somebody sitting there all the time. Give us a call, and absolutely we'll make sure we'll take some action.
I just had a quick question. Sometimes you got to work with the tools that you got in the box. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, I heard it might have been a little bit disturbing to me earlier when you said that your main focus was going toward the drug dealers so that there wouldn't be dealers to sell to these people. Drug addicts are drug dealers. That's just a common fact. So my question is, if your tools are only writing misdemeanor tickets at this point for small quantities, and believe me, I feel your pain on that, I understand what you're saying, isn't it better to just flood those misdemeanor tickets to those people rather than approaching it with a decriminalized attitude and having the consequences of stacked up misdemeanors, which you know they're not going to court on, turn into basically bench warrants at some point? Am I wrong on that, or can I have some feedback?
No, you're absolutely right. What we do is we write the citations as much as we make the contacts and find the narcotics. We write the citations. If they're under the influence, they go to the jail, and they'll get released. We don't play or have a blind eye to narcotics possession or use of narcotics. Those are still enforced 100%. What I meant by that, and if I could clarify, was that if we could take the drug provider away from those people in this respective area, then it makes it harder for those people to get drugs and be under the influence and steal your property and then fence it for their drugs in this area. They'll have to go where their supplier is, and if there's no suppliers in Grover Beach, then that would be a benefit to the community. It doesn't mean that we're not going to enforce a simple drug possession, because we are, and every chance we get, we will issue the citations, we will file the cases, and they will go to court or turn to warrants and end up in jail for a few days, and then we will definitely follow through with that. So by no means, I apologize if that was taken out of context. We definitely look forward to enforcing those.
Okay.
I have just one closing thing to ask before I take off, because I forgot to get going. The last time you did the law?
Well.
How's that? Is that better?
There we go. Okay, good. I had one more question to ask. The last time we did this was about, 2-3 years ago? Does anybody remember when we met here? Okay. We were promised that this was going to happen more regularly, and it never happened. And I know a lot of us have seen sort of fits and spurts where we've really said we're going to crack down on this thing. And it's gotten good for a couple of weeks, and then it went straight back down the drain. So I'm going to ask on record, please, City Council, can we do this again? Can we set a date so that we have another sort of follow-up on this thing? Because I feel like, especially somebody like me who goes to City Council meeting pretty much every time it happens just to see what's happening, it's not as accessible to the rest of the business owners. And I tend to be the guy that people yell at when there's problems, which is why, you know, I was in the Tribune.
Me too, Dan.
Well, I'm the one who's yelling at you, Mayor. So, number one, can we do this again soon, please? And number two, Stacy, would you please reach out to Judith and make sure that she or somebody as her proxy is here at the next meeting? I think I agree with everybody who owns a business here that AG and Pismo need to step up. AG especially needs to step up. I can't speak for Pismo. I went to the last City Council meeting and I tried to say something there and I was totally ignored. But we need to do this as a cooperative thing. I think more business owners need to be given the opportunity to come to this, because, frankly, nobody knew about it until today, because KSBY published an article this morning. We need to fill this room, because there are definitely enough people in this community to fill this room to discuss this issue. So, anyway, I know you guys have your plates full, but please can we do this again sometime soon?
I think the short answer is yes, right? Well, so we'll have to talk through what that looks like, if that's in 3 months or 2 months or, you know. But we look to you to tell us how frequent, you know, would that be too much if we try to do this twice a year, three times a year, four times a year? So it would work. Okay. Everyone agree with that? Okay.
It seems like the population in general shifts over the season. It would be good for us to at least have a conversation every season.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Dan. Anyone else? No.
I just had one other comment. I wanted to thank staff for spending time on the conditional use permit for People's Kitchen and for researching that item. Since that is being researched, is staff or council looking at park regulations in regards to number of people at gatherings so that doesn't happen again at Ramona's Park? Or is my question clear?
No, I think your question's clear. I wanted to go to Bob first, but I was going to make a comment. So, Bob, did you want to?
Well, you know, in our review, and we certainly can bring that back up if the council so desires, but our review indicated that in terms of park activities, the current ordinance that we have in place is probably sufficient. So what we've been concentrating on is more the special event portions of that ordinance.
And I think we had, what was the number we were looking at?
About 100.
Okay. And that's partly because of me, right? Because I'll just tell you, it's a public park, and that's the dilemma we have. It's for public use, and people sleeping here all day. I can understand that frustration, you know. But short of saying you can't go to the park unless you live here, or you can only be there for a certain amount of time, we really got to be careful how we do that. But the reason I said it's because of me was I have 10 brothers and sisters. I know they were talking about a maximum of 25, so I immediately have my family here with spouses and children, then I've got to go get a special permit just to have a impromptu barbecue at Romano Garden Park. I think, you know, so that it's a bit extreme, but I think we're trying to find a number that is palatable for most. So, but anyway, but thank you for bringing that up. Anyway, let me just say thank you all for coming out, and we really do appreciate the candid discussion. You know, this is not... Anyone who knows me and knows the council is, this is not about, hey, come and let us tell you what we're doing and everything's great and the calls are down and this and that. You know, we understand you're out there, you're living this, and we want to be as responsive as we can. And I know the city attorney talked about some of the legal limits. I will say when we've dealt with other situations like this in the past, you all are business owners, you all who are living here paying taxes, it's your money. And I think Stacy touched on this earlier when she said she's okay if we need to try and get tough on this. And what that really means is if we are moving beyond some of the things we're doing now and going to get a little more assertive and get closer to those legal lines, we do run the risk of making ourselves more susceptible to legal challenges and lawsuits. But it's your money. You know, it's not my money. It's not the police chief's money. So if that's where the community wants us to go, then we hope you would express that to us, not only tonight, but if you've got others in the community, have them express that to us. I mean, we're here to serve you. And so, like I said, it's all of our money, not just the council's. Okay, so Stacy, thank you for bringing that up, because I can tell you when we were having a discussion about the panhandling ordinance, we had even thrown out, can we have something that just says panhandling is strictly prohibited in downtown? And, you know, we got the legal opinion on that. So we think we crafted an ordinance that, because of the narrowness of the lots and the location of the driveways and the entrances into the building, it actually is in effect saying no panhandling downtown. But the implementation of that is only as good as folks' eyes on the streets, calling the police, and us being responsive. The foot patrols, when we brought that concept up, was in fact, in addition to the cameras, was to get a greater presence on Grand Avenue, right? And so given the limitation of the resources, and I'm not going to use that as a crutch, but it is a reality that I know, Chief, when that program was put in place, we were talking about bringing folks in and doing overtime, correct?
Yes.
So we think that there may be an opportunity where we're hoping we'll have a discussion amongst the council and figure out, is there a way to have that be much more regular and much more frequent? So there is a presence. So if there's a presence of law enforcement moving down, and I know law enforcement is not the only solution, but it's just one way we can try and approach this. But with a greater presence, you're not going to have people loitering and doing questionable things in public. So we got to figure out how we can make that happen. So... I think Sharon talked about the corridor. Why is this not in Aurora Grande and it's more in Grover? And, you know, my theory, and I'm not an expert, but I do observe, I imagine the homeless encampment at the train station, out at the dunes, coming down to Vaughn's or any of the businesses, that's a corridor. I mean, I can tell you when I go to Starbucks in Aurora Grande, there's either one or two people who are there, and they make me nervous there. So I know, maybe not on a scale, but there are some folks in that community as well. I don't know the whole story there, but trying to figure out how do you break that corridor and that cycle are things that we're really looking at. And so, like I said, I'm on record as supporting People's Kitchen. I'm not a big fan of where it is now. I think what we really need to do is try and find another location that's not as visible and get them off of the Grand Avenue corridor. So I'm hoping that we'll have some of those discussions going down the road. And the regular meetings, I think I'm in agreement with that, and I think the council seems to have expressed support for that, and we'll have a much more formal discussion amongst ourselves and figure out what that day looks like, and we'll look for you all to give us input on that, because we don't want to schedule meetings when, that you can't make it to. I mean, this has been a really good turnout tonight. So what I want to do is let me give my council members an opportunity to make any comments. So let me start to my left, Marion.
Oh, I think I've made my comments. I'm just really appreciate everybody coming out, and you know, we need everybody's ideas and support, because we can't function in a vacuum. You know, I only know my experience. I do walk around a lot. I don't know if you see me. I usually don't look like this. I'm usually in neon with a baby stroller, but I just tried to, you know, see and call like I do, and I hope we can all do that, and I really appreciate everybody's input tonight.
Karen?
Well, if I had a voice, I just want to thank everyone for being here, and I hope that we all can come to some kind of a conclusion here somewhere to help this problem in many different ways, because there's so many different facets to this situation. It's not just there's a small faction that is that does cause a lot of trouble and consternation, but there's also another faction that are truly people that really do want to move up and move on. So anywho, I do appreciate y'all being here, and hopefully we're going to get through this. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Barbara?
I do appreciate everybody who's been here. I sincerely hope that we'll be able to work together to make your places safer for your
clients and not as attractive towards the homeless. I would really hope to have everyone approach this issue from a positive attitude instead of a negative attitude, so that we can work together.
Okay. Jeff?
And I'd like to echo all the sentiments that that my fellow council members have said by thanking everyone for being here. The gentleman in the back had a great line about tools and the tools and toolbox, and I think you've heard what the city has done to put some tools in that toolbox, but I'd like to also encourage that everyone in the room and all of your business fellow business partners and people that come to your stores are tools in the toolbox as well. It can be as easy as making it uncomfortable for someone to come into your business if they're drunk or intoxicated or obviously not there to be a member, active member of the business community that you're trying to serve. So with regards to another tool is the phone number that the chief said, give him a call, and that was 473-4511, or another tool is the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. Obviously, the tools that they have in the toolbox, and I am a member of the board of the coalition. So, Janet and her staff do a great work with outreach and so forth. And their number, obviously, she gave the cards, is 574-1638. So there's a number of programs that they have. There's a number of things that each of us can do individually, which is buying local, eating locally. And if you go to a restaurant and you see them serving people out of the back, encourage them not to do that. I mean, I was into a couple stores this past weekend doing some Christmas shopping, and they said, you know, if people would stop serving the homeless out of the back steps, it would really encourage them to not loiter at those restaurants. So if you do see someone happening to do that, there are services that can be provided through the coalition. And so forth, for food, for homes, for activities, for services that include mental health and so forth. And I'm sure you probably heard on the news this morning as well that Templeton is struggling, and the County Planning Commission is going to struggle with whether to permit a mental facility up in the Templeton area. That's about as close as it might be to Santa Maria versus Templeton. So there may be an opportunity for more services to be provided in the area. Who knows how that's going to turn out. But again, I thank everyone for being here. You are all part of the solution as well. Please continue to tell us and to talk with us and to communicate what tools you want us to add into the toolbox, what you're doing to add into the toolbox that we can support you on. And then we can all do this positively and in collaboration.
Great. Thank you. Good comments. Two things. Will, I did want to say you had a really long list, and I know staff has captured those. Some of those seem to be some things that we can do dealing with the restroom and some of those things. And so I would think following up, we'll follow up with the city manager on that. Also, I didn't acknowledge him earlier, but I do want to make sure everyone understands that our fire chief, Steve Lieberman, for the Fire Chief's Fire Authority, is actually here. And I know that he is part of the team that works with the police chief and the city manager in dealing with the encampment and any other of those safety issues in the community. So he is here. Just we didn't recognize him earlier. But again, thanks everyone for coming down. We'll work on getting a date for the next meeting, and we'll assure you we will do this quarterly. So we'll be in touch. We'll set a date. We'll set a time. And let's continue making as much progress as we can. And I think with that, we're going to give you back the rest of your evening. I'm sure you all have a lot of other things you'd rather be doing than being here listening to us talk. But thank you so much for coming tonight. So with that, we're going to adjourn.